We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
In this room, anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good one?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Got the cameras, motherfucker.
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm dialing. I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm dialing.
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Shiraz from Columbus, Ohio.
Shiraz, what up? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm just calling to spread some positivity to all the black people here in Ohio, around the world, everything. What's up, Charlamagne? Angela Yee.
Peace, King.
What's going on?
What's up, doing, brother?
I just want to let everybody know my day job, I'm a union electrician, but I'm getting my hustle on as a realtor out here in Columbus, Ohio, so... Follow me on IG at Shiraz underscore Robinson. That's Shiraz underscore Robinson. Envy, man, I would like to link up with you, man, and talk about investing in real estate out there in New York and New Jersey.
Okay. Well, just hit me in my DMs, brother.
All right, man. Y'all be easy, man.
Me too, brother.
All right.
Hello, who's this?
Man, good morning, Charlamagne the God.
Peace, King.
What's up, brother? Get it off your chest, man.
Man, I'm in good spirits. You know, me and my wife was getting into it, but now everything's back to our copacetic, so I'm feeling blessed to highly favor, you understand?
Hey, you must have did that thing to her.
Hey, man, look, you know how it goes.
There you go. I ain't mad at you. Have a good one, brother.
You too.
Hello, who's this?
It's Erica.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Yeah, I listen to y'all every morning, and I'll be damn. I'll be tripping out on you and Charlamagne. I mean, I'll be laughing like crazy every morning at y'all.
Well, thank you. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. If you're laughing with us or at us, I don't know.
Yeah, that a good thing or bad thing.
I love y'all so much, man. I listen to y'all every single morning, like every morning.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your support.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
You have a great and blessed day, mama.
That's all.
Where you from?
Okay, you too.
That's all?
That's all I want to say, sweetie. I love y'all.
We love you back.
I love your twang, too. That southern twang.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. Good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Well, I really didn't have much to say. I just wanted to congratulate y'all. Y'all doing good. And I thought it was so sweet how y'all gave away money, because there's really some broke out there.
Stop calling people the N-word.
I think they stop calling them broke.
It's some unfortunate people when it comes to their pockets in America.
There you go. That's right. It's a financial struggle out here for some folks.
Well, if you
that.
Got it, you want to give some money to some people?
Damn.
Heck no. I just lent somebody $10 yesterday. No.
I'm with you, boo. Budget.
That's right. Budget that money. Thank you, mama.
Ah, there's something about them two words together. Just do something to you.
Broke Nick.
Broke. God damn. Lord have mercy. That's, it felt like back in the day when you heard Scrubs for the first time. Like, I gotta get on my mama, huh?
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up? This is Corey.
Corey, what up? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I wanted to call to thank, well, good morning to you, Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne.
Good morning. Peace, King. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to thank Yee for keeping you guys in check and being very beautiful every morning, making my mornings better. I wanted to
thank
Envy and Charlamagne for all the work that y'all do, especially in the mental health area. I haven't read books since high school, and since you've been doing the Audible stuff, I actually downloaded a book. And I've been reading for like the last 2 months now. It's really got me excited.
That's what
I love Audible. Audible, I mean, I loved Audible before I was in business with them, but they're great.
Yeah, I downloaded Malcolm X's autobiography. I just finished Think Like a Monk, and now I'm looking for some more books. I wanted to ask if you could probably send me a book of yours, if you don't mind.
I got you. Y'all got to actually stay on hold, though. People be calling up here saying that, and then they don't stay on hold, so we can't get your address to send it to them. But I'll send you that. I'll send you a copy of my book and a copy of Dr. Rita Walker's book, The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health.
I really appreciate that. And lastly, I just wanted to say, man, y'all got to stop that fruity stuff up there, man.
Y'all be doing too much.
You and Envy, man. Y'all
got to
cut it out. Y'all
FYI, I don't know if you noticed, we haven't flirted with each other all week.
Well, let's keep it that way. I appreciate that.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051.
You got excited.
If you need to vent into something, now is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's me, Leticia. Hi, DJ Envy. Hey, Ace. What up, Char?
Hey.
Good morning.
Peace, Queen. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Last time I called Charlamagne, you wasn't there, but I'm glad to hear your voice. So I had a question for you, Charlamagne.
Yes, ma'am.
Why are you always yawning in the microphone like that? Like, why do you do that?
Simple answer.
Don't tell me because I'm tired because I wake up early in the morning. Don't tell me that.
It's 6-something in the morning.
No.
You're not still yawning, wiping coal out your eye at 6-something in the morning?
So you want him to mute the mic when he yawns?
Don't nobody want to hear all that? That's just, to me, that's like somebody yawning right next to me in my ear. I was like, damn, Char, what are you doing right now? You're like, oh, yeah, because if I don't really know.
Well, you're going to hate to know that I pass gas, too, sometimes. Not in my clothes, though.
Oh, not yet. You go to the bathroom and you pull your pants down, right?
There
all
you
right,
go.
Well, anyway, you know. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. Elijah yes. McClain, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor. Let's do
That's
it.
Right.
There you go. Thank you.
I like that.
Hello, who's this?
I was just about to yawn before she said that, by the way.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, bro?
Hello.
Hey. Money Making Mitch. How y'all doing?
What's money up, Making Mitch. You ain't making no money Mitch. Right now. You ain't making no money in a recession.
Right, you crazy. Cut it out, Charlamagne God.
How you making money? Tell me how you making money.
By giving proper advice on how people should be really clean in their house. That's enough money for me to educate these people.
If you really, oh, you finessing.
Of course. If you really, really, really want to kill this coronavirus, all hospitals and everybody's home, just start from sterilization room. Start from the bathroom, then work your way out. Everything you use in the bathroom, you can use around your whole apartment. Every hospital that's scared, they have training. Sterility is important. So if you just expand your sterilization department and make the whole hospital sterile, then everything, every item, every equipment, every instrument can actually be used properly. All these numbers.
Money Making Mitch, let me ask you a question. People actually paying for this advice?
Of course they are.
Cleaning the bathroom?
Clean your bathroom, actually.
I agree that you have to do sterilization, but you do know that it's transmitted from person to person, right?
Exactly, but it depends on how many people are in your house and do you have a team that's doing sterilization. This is the family. This isn't people from next door coming into my house.
I miss
you. Now, how are you making money off this? Yeah, I'm confused. How do you make money?
You're talking about financial money. I don't need financial money. I don't need no finances. I'm fine. Financial.
What other money is there?
My money's there. But financially, I'm fine. But the other money is the other important money is information. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, knowledge is currency. You mean, yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, so that right there alone, I'm saving lives by telling people. I served in the military 17 years as a medical officer. I've done all forms of surgery. I've been in so many different situations, and we treat every patient. Now, this is the coronavirus. We treat every patient as if they were HIV. Now we have to treat every patient as if they have HIV, corona, and all these other symptoms. That's pretty dope, because now you have to stay on top of sterility for the rest of your life. You understand?
Okay.
This should be an awakening call.
Well, thank you, brother, for calling, man. We really
I don't understand.
You,
but, you know, to each his own.
So you're talking about that type of money. You're talking about financial money. What other money is there?
He meant currency, that's all.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, this Mike, man.
Mike, man, what up? Get up
what
your
up,
chest, Mike?
Mike.
Man, I was mad about some stuff, man. But, really, man, it took me 5 years to get through on this belt, man.
You waited 5 years to tell us that?
No, I waited 5 years to talk to y'all, man. I've been calling for 5 years straight, man.
So what do you want to say?
Man, I just shout out the boys at Rob Buses Incorporated, man. We on our way to work, man. Everybody be safe, man. I ain't mad at nothing. I'm happy to be alive, man.
There you go, King.
All right,
just be happy to be here.
I appreciate it, man.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements. along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about Terry Crews and a tweet he put out.
He said, "There is only one woman on earth I have to please. Her name is Rebecca. Not my mother, my sister, my daughters, or coworkers. I will let their husbands, boyfriends, partners take care of them. Rebecca gives me wings."
All right, so we're asking, who comes first in your relationship? Your wife, your mother, your kids, and for women, your husband, your mother, or your father. I should say your husband, your father, or your kids. In what order does it go? Start with you, Charlamagne.
I mean, there's no order. Like, you know what I'm saying?
If
like,
you have to say, for argument's sake, you have to pick an order. Say.
You asking me a question, and I'm telling you, there is no order. They on the same, you know, level. I think
hypothetically
at this point,
speaking.
I don't. There's no need to do hypotheticals in real life situations. I'm just telling you how I feel. I think at this point in my life, you know, those are all my hearts, and it's not about who comes first in that situation. You know, I will say my wife and kids are the immediates because that's your everyday unit. That's who you see all the time. So, of course, they get, you know, first dibs on everything, but it's not a who comes first scenario. Like, you know, love is something that you have an overabundance of, especially when it's unconditional. And those three entities you named, your mom, your wife, and your kids, at least in my life, that's just unconditional love. I got enough to go around. It's not a matter of who's first.
Three women hanging off a cliff. Your mom, your wife, and your daughter. You can only grab one. Which one you grabbing?
I got two arms.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
I got two arms, and we can figure it out. I got two arms, so I can grab two. Somebody else can grab somebody. We can do a little centipede and get each other up.
You know what?
We'll figure it out.
Yee.
And guess what? If they fall, I'm jumping with them. Well, I got nothing to live for after that. Your wife and kids and mom? Look at what I'm hanging around for with y'all.
Well, I would think that, in my opinion, and you know, I don't have kids, nor do I have a wife, but I would always think kids come first, but that just would be my thought. But the problem I have is him saying there's only one woman on earth I have to please. That's not true. And it's not about putting things in order, but as a father, as a husband, as a son, you should feel some type of responsibility to all of these women in your life. And there were so many people that came to your defense when you were having issues, when you said that you were being sexually assaulted, that actually stood up for you, including Gabrielle Union. And for you to then turn your back and act like you have no type of what's going to happen when something happens to you and people say, well, I don't care about Terry Crews because all I care about is my own husband. Let his wife take care of that. That's not true. You need people, and people need your support, and black women need your support more than anybody.
Well, I feel is your kids first, and I look at the same cliff scenario. And the reason I look at
sorry,
it is...
Sorry, Gia, damn.
No, I'm going to tell you the truth, because if I'm hanging from a cliff, I'm not going to let my wife take me first. I'm going to tell her to take the kids first, and my wife is going to do the same thing. She's going to say, take the kids first. Make sure the kids are safe first, and then come back for me and your mom. That's really what it is. I got to make sure my kids are safe first. Me and my wife.
Yeah, but how you put yourself in the scenario? You said the wife and the kids and the mom. Now you all of a sudden hanging off the cliff with your pants sagging. Where you come from?
You know what?
It wasn't about you. It was about your wife.
Then you talk about eating this morning.
It was about the wife and the kids.
And I'm telling you. If the situation happened, my wife would tell me to take the kids first.
Yeah, but when you get married, aren't you a unit? So
yes.
Technically, you and your wife are one. So I don't see how she could even be put into the equation.
You're right. I would just jump off the cliff,
kids.
Man. I'm going. If they go, I'm
letting
going
you know
too.
Right now. Word is mine. If they jumping, I'm jumping. I'm going to stay on this planet with y'all and be going to therapy every day instead of just once a week.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I ain't got time for that type of trauma in my life.
We all going. Yeah, we all out. Hello, who's this?
This is Arnitris.
Hey, Arnitris.
Hi. I think the wife should come first, because once she leaves the nest, then it's technically the man's responsibility to make sure that her basic needs are met. Then it should be daughter, then mom. Once you're not sleeping with your mom, and you know you're not seeing your mom every day, so I feel like the wife should definitely come first in any situation.
You got kids?
I do, and I'm a wife.
Okay, so you want to come first. Let the kids be off.
Let the kids be done.
Plenty of foster care homes to raise your kids, huh?
Pretty much. A lot of fire.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Thank you, Mama. 800-585-1051.
Lord have mercy. My God. That's a hard knock life for us.
We're asking who comes first. Your wife, your mother, or your kids. Call us up right now. This is from Terry Crews' tweet. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking Terry Crews. He put out a tweet.
Yes, he said, there's only one woman on earth I have to please. Her name is Rebecca. Not my mother, my sister, my daughters, or co-workers. I will let their husbands, boyfriends, partners take care of them. Rebecca gives me wings.
You said it like that?
That's how I interpreted it.
Okay. Well, we're asking, who comes first, your wife, your mom, or your kids?
I don't respect it. And, you know, I gave him donkey today for that. You know, I can't even knock him for how he feels about his mother or sister or coworkers, because that can all be complicated situations. But your daughters, bro, like, come on, man. Like, you supposed to love your daughters the exact same way that you love you love your wife. You know what somebody told me a long time ago? Her name is Daria Alexander. Daria Alexander said, when you love your significant other the way you love your kids, that's when you really have a soulmate. Because, you know, a lot of us don't really experience love until we have children. We don't know what real love actually is. So if you love your significant other in that way, then you really got something.
All right. Well, 800-585-1051, that's what we're asking. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on, Breakfast Club? It's Jay from VA. What's going on?
Jay from VA, we're asking, if you had to pick one, who would come first, your wife, your mother, or your kids?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ride with my wife. You're going up to Terry Crews. If I'm not mistaken, he said the only one he has to please is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm going off the verbiage. I'm not here to please my kids. I'm here to raise my kids. You know, I'm not here to a lot of kids be too friendly, or a lot of parents be too friendly with their kids. And, you know, that's how kids grow up.
You can't be friendly.
No, you can't be friendly with your kids, man.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm not. Two I'm, friends.
I'm not knocking. Like, what's that movie with Terrence J? Why did I get married? His mama was all in his business, and he was trying to please his mama when he needed to be trying to please his wife. And what happened at the end? He bucked on his mama.
You know, that's just a movie.
I bet it's based off real stuff. You can't be like that. I've seen stuff like that in real life. I'm here to please my girl, my wife, my mom. I'm not really here to please her because
I base a lot about my man based on how he treats his mom, and that matters to me a lot as far as who I decide deciding to be with him. I love his relationship with his mom, and that's important.
And you should definitely help based on how he treats his kids too. You should judge a man based on how he treats his children. Let me see now.
You're going to raise your kids right, and you're going to help your mom out when she needs you. But when you're grown, you know, you're here to raise a family as your mom raised you to do.
Now, my brother, have you ever looked up the definition of please? You know what please means? Please means to cause to feel happy and satisfied, to take only one's own wishes into consideration in deciding how to act or proceed. So that's when you say, like, this is the first time in ages that I can just please myself. When you're talking about pleasing somebody else, is to cause them to feel happy and satisfied. He arranged a fishing trip to please his son. He arranged the activity to please his daughter. So, yes, you should please your kids, King.
Well, you know, I'm going with the wifey first. For example, with the love thing, like when you say you love somebody or, you know, you love your mom, you love your kids, but you're in love with your wife or your significant other. Like, it's a lot of things that come with being in love with somebody that you just can't put on the same terms as loving somebody. Like, you love your friends, you love your mom, but you're not in love. You're not having sexual things with your those type of people. You're only doing that with your significant other.
But that's a different level of love.
There's some people out there that don't love their wives, by the way.
Well, you know, I'm going off doing what to do, you know, but I just rather please my wife because that's who I stay with. That's who I build my family with. When your parents die, you know, you still have to please your woman that's still there, which is what your crazy. Dad or your mom raised you to do.
You know, it's crazy that y'all don't care about y'all kids.
I'm looking at, like, in love, right? Now, in love has nothing to do with sexual, right? In love says, I'm just looking at it, says you can't stop staring at them. You feel like you're high. You're always thinking about them. You want to be happy. You don't want them to feel pain. You don't want them to feel stress. I'm in love with my kids.
My daughters.
I'm in love with my kids. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm in love with my kids.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm in love with my daughters. I want to please my daughters. But, you know, and of course, you know, your wife, that's a different level of love. That's something else. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is, boy, I'm surprised the orphanages ain't more packed. I'm surprised these foster homes ain't more packed because y'all don't give a damn about y'all kids. Nice. But guess what? Guess what? Tax time right around the corner. I bet you're going to be so happy to see them low churn in. You're going to want to claim all of them on your taxes.
All right, we got more coming up next with The Breakfast Club.
Keep The Breakfast Club humbled with Slander The Breakfast Club.
Hate me if you want to, love me if you want, but just use your common sense.
Holla, holla.
Me, I'm old.
Holla.
Slander The Breakfast Club. Who's this?
It's Dre.
Dre, Slander The Breakfast Club.
Man, why you and Charlamagne act like y'all butt buddies, man?
Because we are butt
Maybe
buddies.
Maybe we are.
That laugh was crazy after.
I don't even think why you say we act like we butt buddies. We're butt buddies.
What's wrong with that?
What a very suspect.
Why is it suspect? There's nothing to be suspect about. I just told you what it is.
Who you with? Who you with, bro?
I'm with my man Nick. We work together.
Let me talk to your butt buddy Nick.
Right here.
Nick, why you don't love what's his name?
Dre.
Why you don't love Dre?
Who said he doesn't?
That's your butt buddy.
Yeah, that's your butt buddy. And I want you to know that Dre. Huh?
Bro, he just saying y'all be a little off the chain with the comments in the morning, man.
Well, I think y'all should be butt buddies, because Dre rhymes with gay and Nick rhymes with y'all made for each other.
That's your brother. You don't love your brother? You don't love your brother?
Give him a hug right now.
Tell him you love him.
Give him a hug right now. Tell him you love him, you value him, and you appreciate him. Hug him right now.
I love my brother.
There you go.
Tell him you love him.
No.
Man, y'all whack, man. See, that's the problem with black men. We can't tell each other we love each other, we value each other, we appreciate each other.
Y'all butt buddies.
And when me and Envy do that, y'all call us butt buddies.
No, the suspect things you say, the love is one thing. Because I love my black brother.
There you go. So does Lil Nas X.
Y'all need a double date or something.
Hello, who's this?
This is Day-Day from VA. Good morning, good morning.
Day-Day from VA, what's up? Slander The Breakfast Club, Day-Day.
Yes, DJ Envy, I get so tired of hearing you say, who you going to get that donkey to? Can't you say it another way?
How you want me to say it?
You can switch it up today.
I mean, switch it up.
All right. Let me try this. How you say it in Spanish? Say it.
Today.
What happened?
Say it in Spanish. Let me give this dog.
She wants you to say it less flirty and creepy.
Oh, I don't know. I can, this...
yes.
Okay, let me try it. Charlemagne, who you giving that donkey to? How's that one?
Little bass. I like it. I like it a lot.
Or maybe you could say something like, Charlemagne, I know you got a nice donkey. Who you want to give it to?
Hey, that's a little freaky. I don't know.
What?
Go ahead, Dave.
Trying to switch it up.
And Angela, we talked a couple of months ago. I told you your name reminds me of a yeast infection. You said you were going to change it to Angela Monistat, Angela D, Angela T. We got to let go of the yeast.
So you want me to just disown my family?
Yes, she wants you to turn Muslim. Angela X.
Oh, no. I don't want you to turn on your culture. That would be wrong. But it just makes me itch every time I hear it.
It makes me itch.
Have you ever had a yeast infection?
Pregnant, I did, and it was not pleasant. So you're giving me flashbacks.
Okay.
I like y'all.
Goodbye, Day Day.
You can't tell her goodbye. This is slander.
She's
y'all
itching.
Y'all be blessed, man.
Austin.
Hey, this is Austin, man, from Houston. What's going on, man?
What's up, bro? Slander the Breakfast Club, man.
Hey, what's going on? And I want to say, you know, you're a real one, man. You always keep it with everybody on the show. You know, I really look up to you, man. Angela E., man, you're beautiful, you know, but I just think, you know, you ain't about it like you be talking about in interviews, you know, with your lip service. I think, you know, you're a little bit on the soft side.
You said soft side?
Yeah.
I am a softie.
Okay, yeah, see? Like I said, but Charlemagne. Mm-hmm. We're going to come out the closet, man.
Probably never.
Never?
Mm-mm.
Man, cause, you know, you be looking cute with that little makeup on, man.
Said you be looking cute.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's
I
nice.
Needed that this morning. Okay. Thank you.
I'm waiting on you, girl.
Thank you, baby. Hey, today is National Hot Fudge Sunday Day.
So, wait, you have a crush on Charlamagne?
No, I hung up on him. I'm sorry.
Why'd you hang up on him?
I'll be hanging up on when they flirting with me.
I'm sorry. You like that?
Do I hang up on people when they flirting with you?
You like that?
I did enjoy it.
Okay.
A compliment is a compliment.
All right? Well, your makeup looks nice today, bae.
I don't wear makeup, but thank you for complimenting Dr. Sandy's work. This flawless skin. My skin is flawless, by the way.
Sweet face.
Hey.
What's up, sweet face?
Thank you.
The Breakfast Club. I wasn't talking about you.
I can't tell.
Charlamagne does have a sweet face. Leave him alone. Woo!
Thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere.
He's stupid.
Yes.
Slander the Breakfast Club, sweet face.
DJ Envy.
Yes, ma'am.
Envy, I need you to pick up a thesaurus to find another word to use instead of amazing.
I've been practicing.
Everything. You have been practicing hard enough.
You want to hear?
You double down. You double down on the amazing, and you say amazing, amazing.
Amazing, amazing.
I've been practicing. You want to hear?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. Envy's making me say the word amazing. I'm like, when did I start using
Listen,
this word?
Awesome. Breathtaking. Fabulous. Heart-stopping. Marvelous.
Miraculous. I've never heard Envy say amazing. What is
amazing? Envy does say amazing all the time.
Wonderful.
And then I started saying
extraordinary.
Amazing, all the
phenomenal,
time.
Sensational, spectacular.
Can you sing
amazing?
Can
I've been
you
practicing.
Sing,
My
can
wife
you sing
told me
amazing?
The same thing.
Can you sing Amazing Grace?
Spectacular Grace.
Oh, no.
How sweet.
I love you, but no.
All right, fine. Goodbye.
You do, because I was like, why am I using this word?
Amazing.
Envy's always calling everything
why
amazing.
Why have I never noticed you say amazing so much?
Because when I call you amazing, you like it.
I mean, have you seen my skin?
Yo, what?
It is amazing.
Envy would be like, car show's coming to be amazing. We have some amazing sponsors.
I've been practicing.
I had an amazing meeting with Lincoln Tech.
My wife told me the same thing. I've been practicing. All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we got some special guests, some special legends.
Legends, man.
On the right now.
Icons.
They both friends to the room. They both been on the Breakfast Club numerous times. We had a brother, E-40. What up, E-40?
What's happening? What's happening, Claire?
And also, Too Short.
What's up? What's up? What's up, man?
Now, what do we owe the pleasure of having these two icons on this Zoom for? Is this about the super group that I'm hearing about with 40 and Short and Snoop Dogg? That's what it's about?
You talk to Short about that. He don't want to let the cat out the bag.
it's big man, we on some other stuff right now, man. We about to do verses, man.
Verses.
What you mean?
E40 on verses. Now
Now, how did this come about?
Against each other?
Yeah. It would seem like we might team up against somebody else, but now we're going against each other.
Okay.
We're doing it for the bag, man.
Now, Short, now pause. You know he 40 got a slick mouth. So how you going to deal with his slick mouth?
You've been dealing with him for dang near 30 years.
Yeah, I know how to deal with her a little bit, man. I can't control him, but he just got to, like, man, I told you before we jump in the car, so he got to throw a couple jabs early because he gonna probably like haymaker you in a minute.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first West Coast versus West Coast versus. I mean, we saw Snoop go up against X, but I don't think we've seen a West Coast versus West Coast versus yet.
We would have did it a little earlier, man, but I was resisting. You know, 40 wasn't really into it, man, for the fact that, you know, we cool as f***. It seemed like it was a war where you got to go against them and talk bad and stuff. And we kind of like, we thought it through and was like, man, let's do the Bay, because we basically are the story of the beginning of the Bay, the foundation, where it started. You can't really get too many stories that come before or even during our early days. There's not a lot going on outside of, you know, Mac Dre was doing this.
Mac Dre, y'all would be like the you know, they say Jay-Z, Biggie, Nas, y'all would be that for the Bay. I think Mac Dre, 40 Short.
So, you know, I was just like, man, Earl, I don't want to do it, man. I don't want to do it. And then he called me one day. This is how they got me. He called me on a three-way with Swiss. And now I got Swiss and 40 trying to give me the pros of why to do it. And I'm like, you know, by the end of the call, I'm like, all right, let's do it.
It's a celebration. You know, I want both of y'all to answer this. What does a versus battle between Short and 40 mean to the West Coast and the Bay Area?
I mean to the world.
Hip-hop culture, man, just showing that, you know, me and Short, we go back like Angel Flights and Members Only jackets, the 80s, you feel me? And so, you know, when you think of the Bay, you think of us too, you know what I'm saying? In the same sentence, you know? And so me and Short ain't never had no confrontations. All his people know my people from the beginning, BR, before rap, you feel me?
BR.
BR, before rap, you feel me? And so when once we teamed up and did that damn rapper's ball, we knew each other through the soils and the traffic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it just only made sense. So many people was hitting us about this about verses. They was like, man, we need to see you in Short. You know, you in Short, that'll be the ultimate one for us, you feel me? And so I had brought it up to Ty one day. I said, man, if we ever did verses, would you do it? If they ever asked us to do verses, would you do it? And he was like, I ain't interested. I wasn't really interested at first either.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't interested because I said, why do I have to, you know, I got this body of work that I did. Why should I step up and show off or prove anything? I'm like, bro, I did mine. I got a cold run in. Like, a rapper wish you could get the run I got in. Like, nah.
A rapper wish they could have one of your runs. You had many of them. You feel me?
So, that's, you know,
I was on the same page as him, like the same way. Like, you know, what do we have to prove? But then, you know, I'm like, you know what, man, this is for the culture, man. It's for hip hop, bro. I know they'll love to see it, and we feel like this is a celebration. You feel me?
Now, are y'all doing a joint album? I know Charlamagne talked about it, but we hearing is it the Short Snoop Dogg, and I heard Ice Cube. Are y'all doing I'm just kidding. Y'all bounced around, and y'all, you know, y'all curved us, but are y'all doing an album or a project?
What are they talking about?
Yo, man, it's I'm gonna say it like this, man. It's 2020.
Yeah.
We've been quarantining for a long time, most of the time, me. But I fell off my quarantine for a while, but I'm back on it now. And it's got a lot of time, man. So we've just been doing stuff, man.
So who's in the group?
Quarantine. Who? You been out and about?
You said when I fell off my quarantine, I got it in, man, like late summer. I fell off, but
yeah, I've been quarantined through the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I got everything I need though, you feel me? You know, I got positive income coming in, you feel me? Different revenue streams, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I got this new deal, I got two new deals up in this thing, you feel me? So music is my life, you know what I'm saying? I'm just been thinking of, you know, passion projects, man, and coming up with all kind of, you know, things to develop, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, beverages. You know what I'm saying? Doing this tech thing, you feel me? Startup companies, the whole woo-wop. So it's many things. And then at the same time, you want to tell them how you want to tell them how that came about?
Long story short, man. Long story short, man, we got a we made a lot of songs. It ain't really like definite what it's gonna be, but it's gonna be something. It was just a lot of songs. So
who's on these records? Because I'm hearing the group is you, 40, and Snoop.
And Ice Cube.
Don't leave out Cube, man.
Okay. Wow.
It's not official yet. It's not a group. There is no name. There's no like, oh yeah, the project. It's not even like that. We just some OGs, man. Everybody got studios and facilities and beats and, you know what I'm saying? We just doing it. It's something I feel like we're doing this for hip hop. And when I say that, because you could be doing it for the bag. Nobody don't need the bag. So basically, I feel like we got all these rules and regulations and age limits and where's the best time zone and what's the best era and who's the best age group and all this stuff that's like, it don't mean nothing to hip hop because hip hop is very uncontrollable. So when I say we're doing it for hip hop, which is my main motivation is I'm 54 years old. If we do anything, it's going to come out when I'm 55 years old. So, and to drop something dope and to be a working MC who's been working since he was 15 years old, never had another job, like really like eating off hip hop my whole entire life. That to me should be motivational to a up and coming rapper, an inspiring rapper, an established rapper. Like you sit there and look at yourself in the mirror and be like, what are my limitations? I got to stop doing this when I'm 35, when I'm 40. They kept telling me that. Mm-hmm. I was an OG rapper when I was 30. 24 years ago.
That's right.
And no expiration on game, man.
Nope.
So we just we blazing trails, man. You can't tell me Fat Joe ain't doing it. You can't tell me E-40 ain't doing it. Snoop Dogg ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? Busta Rhymes doing
Jay-Z.
It. Now we give the bag is consistent in hip hop, man. Don't do this ageism thing in hip hop. Don't be an OG and tell me that these young rich cats ain't doing it right. Don't tell me that, man, because When I look at my streams and look at their streams, I'm like, they doing something right.
They're doing something right. I'll knock them, man, because it's a whole new generation. They doing it a lot different. But hey, we was once young, you know what I'm saying? We carried it a little different, but you know, you can't knock these youngsters, man. If anything, join them. You feel me? Because OGs need youngsters and youngsters need OGs.
And don't have the opposite attitude either, like all you old dudes get out the way. That's whack. You know, it ain't like that, man. There's a hip hop
like that.
It's for the world now, man.
Because that shit ancient. All that shit about, oh, man, need to wrap it up. It's too old. Woo, and that shit, I ain't heard that in hella long. Anybody say that, just a hater with a motherfucking voltage regulator.
That's right. you know, young artists should be looking at y'all and saying, man, I want that kind of longevity. I want that kind of catalog. Because one thing about you and Short and all the OGs, y'all not getting paid for what y'all do. Y'all still get paid. Y'all get paid for what y'all done.
Right. There you go.
All right, we got more with Too Short and E-40. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with E-40 and Too Short.
But this Versus, are we going to get a album or a single the day after the Versus or the night of the Versus? I mean, it's only right. Millions of people watch.
Yeah, you know, like I said, man, 2020 was that kind of year. I make a lot of music just because that's what I do. But in 2020, it's like I got this whole new inspiration of you're gonna lock me up in the house with a studio. I'm just gonna start making songs. So, yeah, you know, I got some stuff I'm gonna drop, man. I'm dropping a project called Ain't Gonna Do It, and it's the beginning of this motivational thing. I'm trying to like balance out. We got the pimps over here and the tricks over there, and everybody's out of control. So I'm trying to find a balance. Like you gotta know your lane. You know, kind of tone down the tricking a little bit. Don't go so hard on the pimp side. You know, I'm just trying to be age appropriate. But at the same time, I'm not gonna be one of them OGs that go way to the other side and be like, girl, how much you want me to wire you? And we ain't doing that.
Hold on, so you mean you still ain't doing no tricking Short after all these years? They say it ain't tricking if she worth it now.
It's, man, come on, man. It's not. That's not true. It's not true.
Short said he ain't trying to be a rescue Ronnie.
Yeah, the dictionary. Cash App changed the game, man.
Yeah. Well, I also got a project dropping. We dropping on the 18th. You got one on the 18th, right?
Yeah, I heard that y'all dropping on the same day.
Night before, yeah.
On the same day. My project will consist probably about 10, 12 songs, somewhere around there. It's called Terms and Conditions. It's just really just gaming, you know, gaming folks up. You know, that's my specialty, just gaming them up. Stand, you know, giving them some shit to party to, giving them to, you know, ride to, mob out in the old schools or whatever, they new schools, whatever. So, you know, it's just gas, like always, you know, I might need some tums.
When did y'all first meet?
Oakland and Vallejo have been getting down. Back in our day, they was really like tight. Like we used to actually click up and go to different little areas as a, you know, like we got our Oakland mob, they got their Vallejo mob. We click up and go out as a super mob and just pop up somewhere else. We did a lot of that, but it was all based on crack, cocaine, drug sales. Like a lot of dudes in Vallejo sold and partnered up with a lot of dudes in Oakland and was like little teams, you know what I mean? And 40s people and my people was on the same team. So we would go to like you said, Dan Foley Park in Vallejo. We pull up, it'd be like, you know, Vallejo's hosting that day. All y'all come down and we're gonna show you some love. We're gonna hang around, move around the city. That's how it was. And then, you know, them would pile up in their cars, pull up to Oakland, designated area, hang out and powwow and shit. And it was cool. So we come from a clique, specifically E-40 and his brother, getting down in the game with somebody who's been with me my whole life, one of my best friends. So it was always real tight. But I would never see 40 and be like, hey man, your rap is tight, or hey man, when you dropping something new, or hey man, let's do a song together. It wasn't that kind of friendship.
Wasn't even tripping.
We didn't make records till
95.
Yeah, many years after we met.
And we was on the same record label. I came in 93 on Jive Records. I signed in March of 94.
I put my first record out in 1985. I ain't never stopped. My first record was called Don't Stop Rapping. I ain't never stopped rapping. I've been putting
and I used to slap the fuck out of that shit in my motherfucking Cougar. I had a Cougar with the gold luggage rack with gold tips, gold grill, gold DL against lights, the gold leaf, burgundy, Zenas and Vols, cutting up. You hear me, man? And so that he taught me how to put, just from his music, taught me how to put a whole bunch of game involved in my shit, man. So it's got, everything got to be game orientated.
Were you rapping then, 40? Like around
the way? I was rapping. Ever since I heard Sugar Hill Gang in 1979, when I heard Rapper's Delight, I was a rapper from then on. I just didn't have the access. I was in the marching band. I played the band from fourth grade all the way to 12th grade, which some people might not have thought that was cool, but I didn't lose no cool points, man. I was still a fixture. That was the only form of music. We didn't have access to a whole bunch of, we didn't have Pro Tools. We didn't have Logic. You know, Short, people don't know Short is a producer. I am too. Like my first one was Mr. Flamboyant.
I'm one of those producers who never give myself a credit on the song. I just don't, if it's me on my song, I don't put produced by Too Short, but I made really? A lot.
Well, why not?
Because he gonna make the song sound better.
Plus, I never make beats for anybody else. I don't want calling me saying, man, sure, let me get a beat. But it's like, what I do now is I kind of like work with producers and I enhance the shit or, you know, refine it and do shit to it, you know, Dr. Dre style. But if I was a producer and I knew how to engineer, I would be fucking like Kanye West or something, man. I would never come out the lab. I would be a Timberland mad scientist, motherfucker. I really don't want to be that guy. I really don't want them skills because I really would never come out the studio. So I shied away from that. I met a dude named Amp Banks. He make beats like me, except better than me. I was like, making beats. I'm with Amp Banks. That was that.
So is that who y'all got? Y'all got people like Banks, Dr. Dre, Daz. That's who y'all got on this project?
Everybody you name is definitely going to be on there. We tapped into the natural resources that we have access to, Battle Cat. I mean, really, man, I'm telling you, man, it's not this like...
He ain't lying.
I did not say Snoop. We didn't say that. We just some homies. If you want to call it something, just call it Snoop, Cube, 40, and Short. We really just, like, we right now, we jumping on these calls talking about, hey, I got a beat. Rap on this beat. Send me a beat. It was f***ing around just sending beats to each other. And it ended up being 25 songs. We like, this sound good. So we kept doing it.
That's crazy.
And it's something, is a lot of value to it. You're talking about four entrepreneurs. We about to milk that shit. We about to make it
bigger than music. LLCs, and you understand me? Mm-hmm. Like other shit, bro.
Yeah, we're not a super group. We an LLC. That's what it is.
LLC, good buddy. That's
exactly what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Everything we do is gonna be a business deal, a business transaction. It's gonna be the LLC. It's not a f-ing group and about a song. Watch what I tell you, what comes out of the partnership. It's something that I feel like hip-hop needs to like check this motto out. When you see it go down, you can smell it right now. When you see it go down, check the formula and let's interject this shit into hip hop to where, you know, I'm gonna speak on something, man. I'm gonna speak on E-40 and Too Short. and then Jeezy and Gucci. There was a point in time in E-40 and Too Short where we could have turned our friendship to a Gucci Jeezy dynamic. And we jumped on a phone call. They was trying to pretend that I was doing something against 40. It's like 1995.
Wow.
And 40 called me on the phone. He said, "Hey, did you say such and such?" I said, "No." He said, "You sure you wasn't on the radio this morning and said such and such?" I said, "Nah." And we got off the phone. Somebody had been on the radio pretending to be me talking hella shit about 40.
No.
The was hot, and he didn't, instead of getting hot and reacting, he hit me up and said, "What's up?" You know what I'm saying? He was still mad as
shit behind the scenes. I don't have to, everything got to be publicized on the net and shit like that. Like, I call personally and like, "Hey, what's happening with this?" You know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure I ain't thinking crazy on that. You feel me?
And that's so just, we resolved the whole issue by going in the studio and making a song called Rapper's Ball.
And that's the first time, what they do was, that's the first time the word for Sheezy was ever mentioned in hip-hop history.
So what I was going to say was, if E-40 and Too Short would have turned on each other, it was a whole lot of that would came with that shit.
It would have been ugly.
We would have fucked up the story of the Bay. And I think that, you know, Jeezy and Gucci didn't fuck up Atlanta or nothing, but I think that on the opposite side of like what we saw in Versus with them, if Jeezy and Gucci would have been 15 years, 20 years of camaraderie, they would be E-40 and Too Short. And I'm just saying, the shit goes so far down the line, man. Earl might have a play on some money. And he like, "Man, I'm moving this way that week, but I got a money play up. You want to get it?" And he'll tell the folks, "Man, I can't do it. He'll holler at Short. They just shot me 25 racks just on a text message." Like, bam, you know what I'm saying? And what is the debate if 40 crew and my crew turn enemies and one of us got killed? What are we? Right. If that happened in 1996.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it locked. Let's get into an E-40 Too Short mini mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Still kicking it with E-40 and Too Short. Charlamagne?
You know, the story that Short told, you know, just about communication, man. Communication is so important, and it made me think about Biggie and Pop, because they were friends. And in the movie, you know, y'all lived it. I didn't live it. In the movie, Biggie wanted to call Pac, and Puff was like, nah, let it be. So it just shows how far things can go when two brothers just don't get to the root of the problem.
Man, communication, let me tell you something, and also putting your pride to the side can save lives. Right. A lot of things with misunderstandings and miscommunication, even in the soils and the trenches and the, you know what I'm saying, in the octagon. It's like, that's how it be. It's like a lot of cats can really, you know, fix their problems just on communicating, because it'd be a lot of sideline motherfuckers hella messy in the background and shit. Like, bitches can be messy. A lot of funk start over bitches, because you got to prove something to the bitch instead of putting their pride to the side and say, "You know what, man, I don't want nobody innocent in my family to get knocked down, so we're going to try to defuse this the best of my abilities." You know what I'm saying? Who want to always watch their back all their life, man? You know what I'm saying? It's a great world out there, bro. I would try to tell these youngsters, man, it's bigger than four blocks, man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Hey, you really do want to enjoy life, man. Like, that's the part that I always stress.
Yeah, you know, Short, the first time we ever had Senator Kamala Harris on Breakfast Club was 2018, right? And this was before she was running for president or anything. And one of us asked her who her favorite rapper was, and she was like, "I'm from Oakland." Too Short.
Off top.
She wasn't on the national scene in that way, not culturally, just politically. So I guess people didn't really pick up on it, but she said Too Short was her favorite rap.
Libby say that too, Short.
The mayor of Oakland. Well, yeah. You know, it's really like some DNA thing when it comes to the Bay. Like, okay, I'm 54 and I've been making music that I put out in the streets of the Bay since I was 14, 15. So it's people, like, you could be in your 40s right now and you was literally like a little kid who grew up on Too Short. Like, it's that much of a dynamic in the Bay where I'm on third, you know, the grandparents and grandkids loving the same Too Short song right now.
Yeah, I asked Kamala, you know, I said, if you rock with Too Short, then what's my favorite word?
She said, I can't say it.
She said, I can't say it. Did you ever had any interactions with her in Oakland? Short?
By the looks of how high she is, I probably did pop at her. I seen her somewhere in the club back with. It's a small town, I'm just saying.
Did she smoke broccoli?
She said she did in college.
Hey, hey, she can scream that shit like she mean it right now, man, because that shit is legalized, man. You feel me?
I can tell you, though, in my young days, man, I only really dated super, like, nerdy hot chicks. I never really went for the, like, the chick who got, like, brothers like E-40. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, this the opposite, man. He's very hard. I'm really dedicated. I'm you know what I'm saying? I'm a real husband. You know what I'm saying? I got a wife since she's been with me since high school. You feel me? Sure.
He married his high school sweetheart.
I married my high school sweetheart. Sure. He be moving around, man. You know, but that's my partner. That we got two different things, but we know we closer than a booger to a nose. That's my real love.
Is Short the partner the wife don't want you around? Like, I know you around.
No, because he know her. They know each other because Short respect her and vice versa. He know the limits to don't go. He know not to play.
They put the bitch filter on me, man. You know what the bitch filter is?
What's that?
The
bitch filter.
They said, don't bring any girls around that you don't share your coffee table with. Like, if she don't live in my house.
I'm gonna tell you how it unfolded. Let me tell you how it happened. Okay, sure, when we'd come work in the studio, you know what I'm saying? Every day, my youngest son, every time he over here, my youngest son would be playing video games. See that little video game in the back? Yep. He'd be playing video games with one or two Short's bras, right? And he was a little like five, how old he? 5 years old at the time, some shit like that? Four years old? Yeah. Yeah. And hanging out with the girls. And he'd be like, man, you try to take my Short, but you try to take my girlfriend? Right? So, but that's the funny part. But the thing is, one day, one of the bras was like, yeah, I'd be over 40 house all the time. And they got back to us, right? And so wife was like, you know what? Tell Short, if he can, tell him to bring no more girls over here.
Boy, I always see the picture that you post with Pac, man, where y'all drinking a 40. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder what was the story behind that picture.
Was it a 40?
Y'all drinking something. I don't know what it was.
Oh, that was, he had Alizé in his hand.
Alizé.
Did I have Alizé on him? I had Alizé in my hand. Well, that was the drink back then, Alizé. What was the story? That was at Rapper's Ball vicinity, y'all, when we took that.
That video was a party, man.
Huh?
The video was a party. It wasn't even a video. It just threw a party and
it was a party.
Filming at the same time.
Wow.
You know, but Rapper's Ball was that. We did that in Calabasas, right? So Pac, I told Pac we was going to be in L.A. He said, I'm going to come through. I said, well, he said, where the thing at? I said, it's in Calabasas, right? He said, I stay right around the corner. I just got a house right around the corner. Really came, kicked it hella all day with us, got toasted, played music, the whole woo-wop. You know what I'm saying? So in the video, he all through the video. Rapper,
I think that day he played us the whole Machiavelli album before it came out.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep, and more, and some other ones. And he wanted to do a group. I forgot what he was calling it, but he wanted me, Nice and Smooth, hella OGs. You know what I'm saying?
Can't wait for this verse, man. This verse is going to be so classic, man. This Saturday, make sure y'all tune in, man. I'm excited for this one, brother.
I mean, the main reason I'm excited because I always feel like the Bay Area doesn't get the proper respect it deserves in hip-hop, even though y'all influence so much. So one thing I see the verses do is it reminds people and not only reminds people, wakes people up like, oh, shit, that came from that? That was them? Like,
well, we're going to tell some stories, man. I'm gonna bring y'all back to my Atlanta years, too. I ain't just the Bay. I put 15 years in Atlanta, too. A lot of influence.
Yeah, I see a lot of little kids in Atlanta look like you.
If I had any kids that I didn't know about, they would be in Atlanta.
I met Lil Jon because of this guy right here, man. He embraced Lil Jon. And then me being on shows with them and running into Lil Jon, we ended up working.
Let me ask you a question for you. Do you do personal catering? Does Goon with the Spoon do personal catering?
I'm so glad that you brought that up. So the Goon with the Spoon, let me tell y'all. So the Goon with the Spoon is really some street shit. You know what I'm saying? It's really some street shit that I converted into, you know what I'm saying? That I add up to the same thing. It's cooking. We cooking.
Yeah.
You feel me? So the Goon with the Spoon just naturally happened. It was natural like an afro, bro. You know, just being the oldest of four, you know, knowing how to cook and shit, working at the restaurants, you know what I'm saying? Whoop-de-whoop, working at a restaurant. I call it a Michelin star restaurant, but it really wasn't. It was in Benicia, California. It was called the Commandant's Restaurant. Hella rich people there. I'm cooking London broil. I'm cooking chicken cordon bleu. I'm cooking.
I ain't never heard of this shit.
I'm making orange ruffy, you know what I'm saying? Pan fried, you know what I'm saying? With with brown butter and almonds. You feel what I'm saying? I'm doing that kind of shit, man. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I then mixed that with my Magazine Street specialty meals that I, you understand me, that I made, you know what I'm saying, back in the days, in the glory days, you feel me? So I just quit it heavy, the goon with the split. I'm gonna answer your question. I haven't did catering yet. You know, I just toy around with this, but I know what I'm doing because it's in layered up into co-packing. So a lot of people don't know that logo. When you see goon with the spoon, I got a lot of shit coming, bro. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of meat products coming with that logo on it, Goon with the Spoon. And I'll reveal that in the next interview. Hello.
Well, this Saturday, make sure you tune in to the Versus, Too Short, E40. Man, we appreciate you guys for checking in so much, man.
We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having us on this platform, good brothers.
Yes. Change that super group to a super LLC.
Super LLC. Okay.
There you go. All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Just don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get donkey today? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Donkey of the Day goes to CPAC chairman and Trump advisor, Matt Slapp. Now, I want to take this time this morning to discuss with you cultural blind spots. We all have them. Most of the time we have them because what we think we know about other people is something we haven't experienced. It may be from something we read, something we saw in media, on TV or film, heard on the radio, just observed in passing. We all make these assumptions about people. And what's dangerous about assumptions is when a set of assumptions about something becomes common knowledge, it forms a stereotype. And some stereotypes are positive, some are negative, some are just dangerous, some are straight up bigoted and prejudiced. For example, you know, black men have bigger penises. That's a positive stereotype. Positive stereotype for black men, negative stereotype for the women that believe that, but then find out that's not true. Okay, the dumb blonde. You know, the attractive blonde woman. That's stupid as hell. I don't know who reinforced that on TV in your generation, but Kelly Bundy reinforced it in mine. Okay, the dumb blonde, that was just stupid. All right, white men not being able to jump. They did a whole movie about it. Okay, how about white people not being able to dance, lacking rhythm? Okay, may not be a stereotype if it's true, but it's definitely some Caucasians out there who can dance, word to Justin Timberlake. All I'm simply saying is stereotypical tropes are a thing. Well, yesterday on Fox News, on a show Harris Faulkner was hosting, Matt Slapp was debating with a queen. John Hopkins University professor Wendy Osefo. Drop on the clues bombs for Wendy Osefo. Wendy and I have done mental health discussions before at John Hopkins University in Baltimore. Great discussions. I enjoyed building with her, and I'm glad she existed on this panel yesterday, because there is a stereotypical trope that black men get labeled often that she corrected. Now, Matt and Wendy were discussing Donald Trump and his interview with Chris Wallace. The discussion turned to Joe Biden and his cognitive skills, or lack thereof. And this is when Matt let his stereotypical trope about a black man fly. Let's hear it and pay attention after you hear it to hear what happened and how Wendy responded.
Joe Biden is essentially trying to duck and cover, not have a full campaign, hang out in his house, and none of us are able to really see what he's got. He ought to take an hour and answer all the tough questions, and he ought to release his schedule every day that shows that he's full all day long with events. Instead, we see a speech here or there. He does interviews. He did an interview with a rap star, and he couldn't even get through that without a big foible on the You Ain't Black. So I think the problem is Joe Biden is not running a fully energetic, real campaign.
Wendy Osefo, I want to get your response to this.
What we want to hear is facts. What are you going to do for those individuals who have lost family members due to the pandemic? What are you going to do to ensure that we do not have another issue like George Floyd within our police department? That's what we want to hear. And when, you know, Biden made the comment about African Americans, that was not a rap star. That was Charlemagne the God, who's a nationally syndicated radio host. You know, I know he's a black man, so you may think he's a rapper, but he's not.
Drop on the clues bombs for Wendy Osefo again. Thank God for black women. What would Black Panther be without the Dora Milaje? My God. There's something about a black woman getting somebody together on behalf of black people. Because what Wendy did wasn't for me. That was for us, okay? Educating Matt Slapp in that moment in real time is exactly what needs to happen. Remember last week when I said if Nick Cannon was going to attempt to have a conversation about his assumptions of the Jewish community, he should have it with a Jewish scholar, a rabbi, someone from that community who can correct his mistakes when he says something wrong, who can correct him if he says something they deem anti-Semitic. That's what Wendy Osefo was for Matt Slapp in that moment. See, rapper is a stereotypical trope that successful black men get labeled all the time because for whatever reason, when some white people do see us, if they see us at all, they can't see us as anything else. I mean, I'm clearly too short to be labeled a basketball player. So the only way I could be in first class on a flight or on your TV talking to a presidential candidate is because I rap. This happens to me all the time. I've seen so many of these mainstream. I know it happens to you, Envy. You got confused with Drake. Yes. I've seen so many of these mainstream white publications label me a rapper. I've been on flights and had white people ask me, you know, do I rap? Do I do music? I always reply, I'm a proctologist. And then I make a fart sound. I'm serious. But I'm not going to call Matt Slapp a racist. For what? I'm going to just say he has a cultural blind spot. Okay, I can't fault him for what he doesn't know. Plus, I used to really rap back in the day. Nothing serious, but I had a bar or two. And if all black people look alike to him, then hell, maybe we all look like rappers to him. Plus,
tell him
I
your
love
rap name,
rap.
Son. Tell him your rap name, son.
I don't have a rap name.
Maybe he's just familiar with the song Black Men Don't Cheat, and that's where he knew you from.
No, that's not true. My rap name used to be Dizzy Van Winkle. You know, and plus, but listen, I love rap. You know, rap music has saved a lot of lives, took a lot of brothers and sisters out of the ghetto, made a lot of brothers and entrepreneurs, and has provided a lot of jobs for a lot of black and brown people. So being referred to as a rap star, I would call that a positive stereotype, but a stereotype nonetheless. And the moral of the story is, contrary to this Caucasian's culturally clueless belief, all black men you see on TV are not rappers and athletes. And you should never assume that. Because, Matt, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me because that's how it's spelled. Please let Chelsea Handler give Matt Slapp the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
Now, Envy, I've seen this happen to you in real time.
Yes.
Well, not in real time, on video. Somebody mistook you for Drake.
Yep. I get the same questions all the time. What team do you play for?
No, you never get that. Stop.
All the time. Stop. Yes, I do.
Maybe baseball.
Maybe Carlos Boozer.
Maybe no. Baseball because you're Dominican. Maybe.
No, I'm six foot, so I get what team do you play for?
Shut up.
Yesterday, I got, am I a singer? I got that yesterday. So I get it all the
definitely
time.
Definitely singer. Definitely R&B vibes. Definitely neo soul.
Great.
R&B vibes. Definitely.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Back. You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line. The brother's back.
That's right.
Michael Eric Dyson. Welcome back, brother.
Hey, man, it's great to be here. I'm thinking of the greatest hits. I want to start off like, put some respect on my name. All three of y'all, put some respect on my name. Or here's the number. Drake!
Michael Eric Dyson, the one and only, is here. He's put out his 17th millionth book. A long time coming, a reckoning with race in America. It's a great read. It's tough read. Very tough read.
Why is it a tough read?
It's a tough read because, like, the first chapter is Black Death, and that's very hard to get through. But literally, the whole book's theme is essentially about Black Death. And like, one of my first questions was, was it as difficult to write as it was for me to read?
Yes, but not as difficult as the people who died.
That's right.
You know, I'm from an older generation. I know people can't tell, but I'm older. I'm 62 years old. We didn't have safe spaces. We didn't have self-care, things that are necessary and critical and vital. But I know people say, give trigger warnings. I'm in class, my younger students, when I'm about to watch the Kendrick Lamar video about, you know, we gonna be all right. Should you give a warning? I'm not even used to that. I don't even think that way. I know I'm sensitive to and empathetic with those who do, but I figured the people who died had no choice.
That's right.
Emmett Till had no choice. George Floyd had no choice. Breonna Taylor had no choice. The least we could do is to wrestle with and grapple with, in an existential, personal, political, philosophical sense, the death that they endured. And yes, is it tough? Absolutely. Am I trying to re-traumatize Black people? No. But I'm saying at the same time, if they could sacrifice limb, corpuscle, blood, then we, and body, then we can at least attempt to get inside their skin for a moment, to see what they felt, to know what the consequence of their death is, and for us to grapple with that as the basis for trying to talk about racial reckoning in America. So yeah, it was tough. Starting in the prelude with Elijah McClain, a 23-year-old young Black man, mm-hmm. who some argued is on the spectrum, a sweet soul, as sweet as one could ever imagine. And here he is, wearing a ski mask before COVID because he had, you know, he was anemic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as a result of that, he wanted to stay warm. And the police roll up on him. He says, please respect the boundaries I am I am speaking. And not only do they ignore him, they besiege him, they take hold of him, they put him in a chokehold, render him unconscious twice. The EMT arrives, they put ketamine in him, and then a week later, he's dead. I mean, this is the massive disregard for Black life. This is the vicious, callous indifference to who we are. So I think the least we can do, yes, take a note, yes, have a trigger warning, yes, we have to deal with this. But I think we've got to honor their deaths in many ways. And one of them, it is at least understanding the horror and tragedy of what they confronted. I wanted to put that on paper as poignantly, as vividly, and in some instances, as graphically as I could, so that we can get inside of the trauma that Black people confront and those outside of it, so they can understand what we're up against.
But we're getting to a point now where it's like there is, it doesn't stop. The young man, Casey Goodson, died. We just had his mom on air.
Yeah.
And it's like, when does it stop? They keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again.
It's a great point. And when you parallel what you just said with the video that came out at the same time of a white guy getting stopped by the police, he has a gun in the seat next to him. The police withdraw their revolvers and pistols from their holsters and point at the young man. He's arguing with them. I have a Second Amendment right. I have a right to have a gun. What you're doing is wrong. You can't have me step out of the car. He's arguing vigorously, aggressively back and forth with them. They tell him to get out several times. He refuses to do so. He says he will not. And as a result of that, they go back and forth 3 minutes. And at the end of it, he says, I'm driving off right now, and pulls off. This is the astonishing parallel to Black people like Jacob Blake walking around your car. And when you open the door and they see a knife, they commence to shooting. Not because you've withdrawn that knife from your car and tried to hurt them. Not because you've threaten them. And by the way, the white guy threatened them twice to shoot them. He threatened them to their face. So that parallel is astonishing. No, it will never stop unless we do something about it. Maybe we could defund the police, my Lord. Maybe we could have a radical reimagining of the police. Now look, I know we're going to get into the Obama quote. Let me introduce it myself. I'm hosting myself today. Might as well do it, right? Yeah. I'm Charlemagne the light skin. So the thing is, for those who have been hurt and in pain, and for the question you just asked me, when is it going to stop? Imagine that behind the attempt to reimagine policing. All right. So reimagining policing means the police don't have a run or a copyright on public safety. Public safety is an obligation. Policing is one department that does it. We can remove that department or decenter it. If we decenter policing, that means other departments take care of responsibilities for public safety. Do you know 90% of what police do ain't about stopping people and shooting people and doing that kind of stuff, or engaged in, you know, warfare with human beings who are citizens on the streets? They're getting cats from trees and doing innocuous stuff. The problem is, even when they do innocuous stuff with Black folk, oh, Walter Scott, let me stop you in South Carolina because your left turn signal doesn't work. And then a little while later, he's being shot 7 times in the back by a policeman, mm-hmm. right? That's Officer Slager, I think. So even the innocuous, the everyday, the non-offensive stuff that other people can take for granted. Oh, thanks, officer. Thanks for stopping me. And thanks for giving me a warning. Ends up with death with black people. So this is the desperation behind reimagining policing, reimagining what police people can do. So if we decenter them and we, because you know, these police unions are powerful out of all proportion to their numbers in the population. Right there in New York City, they are racially charged, they are racially insensitive, they don't want anybody reforming them. We have tried reform for how many years?
That's right.
How many decades have we tried to reform the police? Let's make sure that community policing works. Let's put community, let's put police people in the community that they're policing. So if you're coming in from Delaware and you go into Baltimore and you deal with a guy named Freddie Gray, you don't think of him, hey, that's my uncle, that's my cousin, that's my brother, that's my father, that's a kinfolk. And therefore, when he gets loud or he gets vituperative or he gets offensive or he gets pugnacious, I can deal with it because that's the kind of cat I already know. I know how to deal with him. That's my home people. So we tried that. That didn't work. We still get killed. We still get shot. Hands up, we get shot. Hands down, we get shot. Yes, sir, we get shot. No, sir, we get shot. George Floyd lying on the ground with ultimate respect. Officer, please, officer. He doesn't say, hey, dude. He doesn't say, get your MF. He doesn't curse. He treats with ultimate respect the person who is immediately responsible for his death.
Just like Elijah did.
Same thing. Elijah said, hey, you're good people. You are very good people. I understand why you're doing what you do, but please stop. I wouldn't even hurt a fly. I don't even eat meat. Look at the respectability politics that have to be deployed to try to convince white people that I am a human being worthy of respect. We have tried everything. So what I would say respectfully to our former president, lovingly to him, sir, don't be more upset with people who use a term that you think puts them in jeopardy of not getting the goal they seek than you are outraged at the hurt and pain that caused them to search for a word to begin with.
All right, we got more with Michael Eric Dyson. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Michael Eric Dyson. Now, right before we left, we were getting into Barack Obama saying defund the police. Now, what are your thoughts?
Now, Obama is looking at it from the perspective of those in power and those who are politicians.
That's right.
Please understand that. Pharaoh has a different agenda than the people of Israel.
That's right.
Right? Now, and I'm not dissing Obama. I'm saying Pharaoh in terms of a job description.
Mm-hmm.
He runs the joint.
Mm-hmm.
He is the president of the United States of America. He is in political power. He is different than those who are on the ground asking for, requiring, and demanding Pharaoh. Let my people go. The problem is for us is that Pharaoh is one of us. That's beautiful for many of us. We wanted Pharaoh to be us. I voted twice for Obama to, quote, be Pharaoh. But the problem is when we don't take into account, he is seeing it from their perspective. And I don't mind that. His point is, let me give you some advice here. If you're trying to get over, this ain't the way to do it for those who are in power. But those on the street are saying, we've done it your way already. And let's be real, if Colin Kaepernick had not called it a protest, but called it a vigorous disagreement with the status quo, would it have made any difference? Is it really what the name is? Is it really the name you use? Is it really the description you give? Or is it the fact that you are black and challenging the status quo? If black people had not called it defunding the police, would it be more acceptable? Perhaps. Look, I'm a leftist. I'm a progressive. I believe in being introspective and self-critical. So I don't want to automatically be mad at Barack Obama for saying, do you want the commercial or do you want the product? The commercial says, hey, I'm down with it. I'm defunding the police. The product is we actually get to dismantle the harmful structures and the systemic inequities that prevail. I stand in solidarity with those who want to defund the police. If you can charge them for being unfelicitous or infelicitous by using a word that is problematic, their lives are problematic to the dominant status quo. Their lives are problematic to anybody in power who sees a threat to the police as dangerous to American society. Allow our lives being lost to be just as dangerous. So are you going to be outraged at the horrors that exist, or are you going to be outraged at the people who are outraged by the horrors that they confront? And I think it is progress in America, in Black America, when Barack Obama can be even gently criticized.
I agree.
right? In office, that wasn't gonna happen. You hate her. If you you criticize Obama, you are persona non blacka. You are not the person, right? But now, a little bit, Charles Blow, New York Times, you have a curious post-presidency. You are scolding young black people. And so I think it's legitimate and healthy. We can't be mad at white people for uncritically celebrating Donald Trump and then say we turn around if we have any criticism at all of Barack Obama, we are somehow read out of the race. Now, at the end of the day, can we embrace both perspectives? Can we be progressive and say, look, I don't give a darn what you call it. I want the police to be challenged because they are murdering, killing, harming, hurting, tasing, batoning, and shooting black people at will. What is wronger? Using the words defunding the police or the police who need to be defunded or those who need to be redirected? Of course, the police are worse. On the other hand, I think that the left has to be open and not thin-skinned. And we must say, hey, you know what? Even if this dude is not on our side, even if we think what he's doing is centrist and deferential to the status quo, and we ain't trying to reform the police, we're trying to deconstruct them and take them apart because they have hurt and harmed us. Even if you want to do that, it's all right if you choose a different route that might be a bit more savvy, that might appeal to those who you can, if you will, recruit on your side to do your bidding with you and alongside you. Both of them can happen.
I've only seen one centrist establishment Democrat mainstream, who is Senator Harris, soon to be MVP Harris. She's the only person I saw answer the defund the police question correctly, because she didn't even focus on the statement. She talked about the why. She talked about what needed to, why that needed to happen. And then when Meghan McCain came back and goes, well, I agree with you, but do you believe in defunding the police? And then she flipped it back on her and said, define defunding the police.
Right.
That's what I wish Barack would have did. Like, just focus on the why. You know what the why is. You know why these kids are screaming at.
But see, that's the point. You say he knows why, but he hasn't said so. You give him the benefit of the clout.
All right. Benefit of the clout, okay.
And the thing is, he ain't really said so. Now, when you look at his whole interview, he was far more nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish he would have said, look, given that black people are being mowed down, let me be Barack Obama. Let me channel Barack Obama.
Go ahead.
Let me be his, not his anger translator, but his nomenclature translator.
All right, let me set you up. President Obama, what do you think of the slogan, defund the police?
Well, you know, Charlemagne, the thing is that we're living in a vicious society where black life is seen as not worth much. When we turn around every day, we see black people going down. Hands up, they get shot. Hands down, they get shot, no matter what they do. So the question is not, will we defund the police? We tend to defund schools. Nobody has a problem. We defund social services for poor people. Nobody has a problem. So why is it, I said to myself, Barack, why is it that they have a problem with defund the police? Because it's getting to the nerve center of American power. And so I would not dare, using my bully pulpit and the enormous leverage I had, I sold 900,000 books the first day. Take that, Mike Dyson. Here I am, as former president of the United States of America. I'm not going to use my leverage to hurt the people who, even if I disagree with the term they use, I agree with the hurt and pain being expressed. So inevitably, if I say something critical about the terms they use, I'm going to be recruited as being in opposition to them. And if you look at all the headlines, that's all they're going to say.
That's right.
Barack Obama criticizes. So I'm going to be wise and say to you, Charlemagne the God, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee, that I defer that question to a bigger one. What can we do to stop black people from routinely dying?
Ooh.
So that the streets of America don't run red with the blood of black people.
Now, well, President, people feel that you didn't do anything for black people while you were in office. What do you say to that?
I got to go now, and I'll be right back.
All right, we got more with Michael Eric Dyson. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Back, it's The Breakfast Club. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We have Michael Eric Dyson in the building.
I thought about this the other day. I feel like white politicians are scared of defund the police, because when they defund programs, what they are actually doing is abolishing them. Mm-hmm. So I think when they hear that, they're like, we're not getting rid of police, because that's what they do when they defund.
And look, I know the left will get upset, but we got to be self-critical. You got to learn how to play the game. Mm-hmm. Because don't act like you ain't in it. Don't act like you're progressive and radical, and therefore you outside the parameters of realpolitik. That you got to get down to the nitty gritty and understand, how am I going to be successful in the job I have? Just because you're progressive and you should be, just because you're radical and you should be, just because you're revolutionary and you should be, doesn't mean you don't have to think about packaging, messaging, how you articulate it. And to that degree, I completely understand how we who want to challenge the policing of America must take that into account. And what you two just brilliantly laid out, right? Because we know the fear of white people is black people gonna treat us like we treated them when they get in power. Mm-hmm. That's why they're trying to keep us out of power. Because mm-hmm. they figure they'll do to us, Jiminy Cricket, what we did to them. And that's not a good thing. But we ain't like that. Here's the kind of people we are. South Carolina, Emmanuel Church, 9 people get murdered.
That's right.
Before the bodies are cold,
that's right.
We forgive you.
That's right.
That's who we are. So when we say defund the police, we actually mean that. We mean take $150 million, like they did in LA, move it to another part of the ledger. That's what defunding means. Mm-hmm. Move money into other arenas where it deserves to be had and directed, so that policing in America, so that public safety in America will be something that is far more virtuous than vicious. And what we want what the police did with that white boy. Even when we wrong and got a gun by our side and talking cash money trash to the police or to the public servant of public safety, our lives are protected because we are seen as human beings. So yep. I'm down with that. So
I want to ask you a couple more questions before you get out of here. About the book in particular, A Long Time Coming, A Reckoning with Race in America, I feel like colors was a theme throughout this book. Black death, blue plague, white theft, seeing red, white comfort, evergreen, hope. What's the science in the colors?
You are literally the first person who has asked me that question, and that was my intent from the get-go. I can't give you no war. I'm gonna give you an extra book. I'm gonna let you interview me again just because you said that. I mean, that's exactly what I was about. I'm about the color-coded misery that black people deal with. Gold Orb is the Elijah McClain chapter, because his co-worker said it was like a gold orb around him every time he came in. Wow. Black death. Black people dying, right? Mm-hmm. Blue plague, mm-hmm. the police mm-hmm. assaulting us.
White theft, colonization.
That's right. Mm-hmm. White colonization, white comfort, and the colonizing of black imaginations, the appropriation of black futures. And black death is the ultimate form of appropriation of black identity, the appropriation literally of the black body. The evergreen hope of Reverend Clemente Pinckney, the white comfort that Sandra Bland disturbed. So yes, I wanted to probe the coloring of America, the color coding of America, the obsession with color, the obsession with race, and I wanted to turn it inside out and talk about how it's redounded negatively and played in such destructive fashion within Black America, and that was quite intentional. Thank you for picking that up, my friend.
That's a great note to end on, then.
Yes, sir.
I want everybody to go get A Long Time Coming, A Reckoning with Race in America. Michael Eric Dyson does not waste words. That's why he don't write blogs. He writes books.
There you go.
But you know what? The brother said, I write books like write hooks. That's what I do.
That's right.
Number 23. I'm trying to drop them like I'm free. I'm trying to be like DJNV, but really I'm trying to be Charlemagne the God. I got it in the cog of machinery. I do my thing. I see it. I believe it. I want you to conceive it and receive it. Buy that book. Help me out with my kids. I got to put them through college. Okay, right. They're already out, but I need to do something. Straight on. All right. Anyway.
Doc, until next time, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you all so very kindly.
Peace, King.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do, man. I want you to say to yourself today, I am in charge of how I feel, and today I am choosing happiness. And I want everybody this morning to just do a little small note to self, okay? A little small note to self. And remember that sometimes all it takes is one small positive thought in the morning to set the tone and improve your whole day. Blessings to you.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.